that I may see glimpses of truth asked for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Welcome to New Reality. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I investigate this emerging consciousness that's happening on the planet, this spiritual awakening, this evolution of who we are as fully embodied potential human beings waiting for our next adventure. So tonight's guest is very much about the possible human, about sparking the aliveness that's in us all. Her name is Christina Berkeley, and she's well-versed in many subjects. Her website is youarebeautiful.usa. She's a personal coach, very knowledgeable about sexuality and the expansion of consciousness. So welcome, Christina. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think your work is interesting in the sense that people don't know how to be really fully embodied. I mean, they're either spiritual, or they leave out the physical, or they don't pay attention to the mental. You know, somehow you put it all together. What would you say is like the thing for you that weaves the mental, physical, and spiritual together?
What is the thing that weaves the two together?
What connects all that together? I mean, how do you connect them for people? Like that we're not just parts, but we're part of this big picture, this big package, you know? I mean,
yeah. It's true what you say that I found in a lot of the different disciplines that take people on spiritual paths, whether it's various religions or alternative ways of thinking, there's a way where the body, the earthly form, the material nature of who we are is something that is less than desirable, or that it's too desirable and gets in our way. So mostly it's been dealt with in this way of saying that it's bad and ignore it, or just don't put any attention on it at all and be chaste and to simplify things, or it's just ignored. It's not dealt with at all. It's just not mentioned. And I think that does us a great disservice because in the end, we are here experiencing this reality and this world and this consciousness and this way of being, and we're so lucky to have the human birth that we do have to experience and explore and expand and live in this way. That our physical form, our bodies, our desires, our human nature is actually part of that holiness that exists. To deny it, I think, is really doing us a disservice. We're missing a lot of the picture of what it is to become a fully potentiated human being.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very important point. I mean, to really be holistic, we have to include the body. And you're also right in the fact that we are very fortunate. It's like the body, the sacredness or the embodiment of spirit, for me, is spirit. You know, there's no separation. Of course, we're in a way greater than our bodies, but we are also have to honor the temple, yeah, as it's called. It's the sacred temple. Yeah, but I think where people get confused, let's say, is in sexuality. And, you know, and there is that fine line between pleasure, indulging in pleasure, and then also using sexuality to take us to a new level of consciousness. So, I mean, how do you
deal with that? By bringing exactly what you just said, bringing consciousness to it. So looking at the way that sexuality has been dealt with throughout culture, throughout history, and then specifically, most importantly right now in the society that we live in, what is the sexual lesson that is being taught to people in the mainstream, in school, children, just anybody that you walk down the street, what is it likely that they experience or know of sexuality? And as someone who grew up in North America, I didn't know much. No one ever taught me that there's anything really special about it other than it feels good. And no one ever taught me more than that anyway. Everything I learned was from TV and from porn. So that was pretty much it until I discovered and read, and I got lucky and happened upon some people who had more things to say about it, who had explored sexuality in a way that took off the sort of salacious nature, the hedonistic nature of it, where it was just about sensation and just about satisfying an urge kind of a thing, to what is possible? What is the point of this? What is it that can happen to our bodies and then to our minds, as they are both connected to each other? What is this consciousness that is in us, but when we activate the sexual energy on purpose and we hold it in a certain way, what can happen? And people have discovered through the years, through you know, I don't know exactly the entire, how far back in human history, but have discovered these incredible experiences that are possible, that are sexually based, and we kind of forget about them, and then we rediscover them again.
Well, like, that's what kind of what is possible through the sexual activity? I mean, what have you discovered either personally or things you've read that is? Because I don't think people know what's possible. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, when thank you, ma'am. It's like you know, very automatic, very localized pleasure. I don't think people have real. So what have you discovered?
So in sexuality, the first thing that people really think about is the goal, which is orgasm, right? It's like, do stuff that feels good, and at the end of it, you eventually get to this orgasm where you go over the edge, or you ejaculate or come or whatever it is, and it's this incredible, like, 2 seconds of amazing sensation that is wonderful. There's oxytocin released in the body, and a lot of good things happen because of that moment, and then that's about it. And what I've discovered is that is actually, on a scale of 1 to 10, something at around a 2 of satisfying in what's actually possible. And from the 2 to the 10, there's this whole world, and the way to discover that whole world is to start to play with all of the other sensations and other nuances that are happening between yourself and your partner in the moment before that going over, that ejaculating peak. You start to, if you slow down and become more and more conscious of your breathing, of your sensations, of your sensory being, of your energy. People who know how to work with energy, people who have done Qigong or Tai Chi or other types of energy practices, and learn how to channel that or have that flow through your body, you can start to learn to play with that in your sexual encounters. And then what happens is this other space opens up, this incredible infinite array of one physical sensation that one would never guess is possible, but two, energy and tingling and feeling and bonding and intimacy with your partner that is sort of beyond the feel-good, lovey-dovey stuff. It's a lot deeper and more profound.
Right. No, I've had moments of that. I can't say I've had sustained moments of that, but I've glimpsed what you're saying, and I think so much of it is we have to stop being automatic, you know? We're not really taught to how to have sex except from pornography or or your friend, and no one tells us there is these subtle nuances of feeling that aren't just about orgasming. And you sort of said that, but it's like it's so much a bigger field to play in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even like sensuality courses or so-called tantra courses I've taken, they sort of miss it too, because they have a sort of formula. They sort of like say, okay, do it like this. Or I mean, mm-hmm. no one really gives us the space. Of course, we have to take it, but just to play with sensation and communication, you know? And even in people that I've met, like people like One Taste, they don't really give us the I didn't really feel like, I mean, I love those guys, but I really didn't feel like there was a place to play in the unknown with sensation, you know? I mean, maybe that was just my experience, but but then you're saying it's also not just about sensation, it's about what happens to the human experience as a result of these sort of new feelings that then come online, right?
Yeah, so we start at sensation. So the sensation is there, and it's important to pay attention to it, to notice it, and to place it, to be able to say, oh, I'm feeling tingling in my toes, or I'm feeling tingling in my genitals, or I'm feeling a kind of expansion in my chest. Because a lot of our emotions and things that we experience, we tend to put these like grand feeling states on them. And if we get down to the actual physical sensations in our body, we get to know our bodies better, and we get more and more familiar with what's going on with these instruments that we have. And in a way, our bodies are these instruments to experience these holy experiences that can happen through sexuality, and the better we're able to tune them, to feel them, to know what's going on and be conscious of them, the better we're able to use them. So the first thing is to become extremely, exceptionally aware of the sensations that we're feeling in all moments, and not just go unconscious. So when we're having a really incredible sexual experience and we're flying really high and we're seeing stars, we can just sort of like fog out and be gone out of the experience. So instead of that, staying conscious and being present and staying with the feelings in our bodies so we know what they are. That's the first piece.
Hold on to that piece for one second, because I want to have a question about that. Or do you want to go on to the next piece? Because
that's fine. You can ask. Go ahead.
Okay. No, the question, and this is something I really did want to talk to you about. And when I saw you, it was somehow vague in my mind about this. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, we have the sensation, but then the act is not just about me. I mean, it's about the partner. So how do I also give, I guess, as well as receive? So I'm feeling sensation, but I'm also there to give. And it's like, you know, it's like football. Either you're playing offense or defense. Either you're giving or receiving somehow. I mean, I guess you can be both. But the question is, if I'm paying attention to my own sensation, how do I give to another?
That's beautiful. So it's actually quite cool. You can't help it. The way that the human body is made, the way we work, is there's something called the limbic system. It's part of our brain. There's the reptilian brain, the limbic brain, and then the frontal cortex. And the limbic brain and this limbic system does something called limbic resonance, where we're sending off signals to each other and regulating each other's bodies all the time without doing it on purpose. It just happens. So if a mother puts a baby on her chest, the baby's heartbeat will regulate to the mother's heartbeat. So her body is regulating the baby's body. Two people in a room, one of them yawns, the other one might yawn as well. Women who live together end up on the same cycle each month. There's just this way that our bodies do this thing. And between lovers, people who are so intimately connected, our bodies are sending signals to each other. So as we become more and more conscious, more and more kind of awake in our sexual experience and more present, that limbic resonance that happens anyway can happen even better, to the point that what one person is feeling in their body, the other person is kind of feeling in the body also. If I'm going up, they're going up. If the sensation is getting higher and higher and higher in my body, it's almost like the sensation and the overall orgasm that is happening in the room between these two people is going higher and higher, and the partner is feeling that as well. So it's this back and forth dance of sensation. And the lovely thing is, as you train yourself in different ways, and there are different courses and different places to study these kinds of things, this lovely back and forth dance of giving and receiving almost becomes like both people are doing it at the same time. So you are paying attention to the sensations in your body, and your instrument becomes more and more fine-tuned that way, and it's being delivered into this whole that both people are experiencing. So part of the sensation you're experiencing is what's being given to you from the other person, and what they're experiencing is what you're giving to them.
Right. I mean, it's the same. I mean, it's similar, I would say, but it's not quite. I mean, I would say that in a way women feel more intensely than men somehow. That's been my experience. I mean, sensation wise, or maybe they're just more available, more in touch with their bodies. But yes, if I'm giving someone pleasure, I'm feeling that pleasure too, in a different way. I mean, it's not exactly the same though, right? I mean,
it's not exactly the same, but it's sort of like there's a, like I have personally, like there are, experiences. I practice this practice called orgasmic meditation. And when I'm doing this practice with a partner, I'll have this thought in my head, something's going on. And then I'll have this thought in my head. It's like, oh, right now, I wish that they would, you know, use a little more pressure in this way. And then they'll just use a little more pressure in that way, and it'll be like, how did you know to do that? And they'll just say, it felt like it was time to use more pressure in that way. There is a sense that they unconsciously picked up on it. They let their intuition know. So there is a sense that they had in their body that they're letting lead them into what's the next thing to do. That's although, so obviously, I mean, we have different bodies and obviously feeling different things, but...
No, I know what you're saying. So, I understand that and I accept that that is the resonance, and often, you know, it's the field effect. So, okay, so mm-hmm. I think I get that first part then. Okay, now the second part you were moving into was what after the sensation?
So, yeah, getting in touch with our sensations, right? Getting familiar with our bodies and knowing what they are and kind of becoming masters of our own bodies is part one. Part two, then, is learning to open to more than that, beyond that. So opening to kind of almost an altered state of consciousness. So when we get into a state of orgasm, there are two different things. We were talking earlier about that going over peak sort of ejaculating part of what we usually think of as an orgasm, right?
Right.
So there's a difference between that kind of a climax that is accompanied with ejaculation, for example, right, and being in a state of orgasm, which is a full body experience, which is a frame of mind where you're completely out of control. Your ego is gone. You're no longer attached to how good your hair looks anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And you can reach the state of orgasm and be in it for a prolonged period of time. It's no longer that 2 or 3 seconds and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to that expanded state in your body, one, it feels amazing. You can feel it everywhere. You're not just feeling it in your genitals. You're feeling it literally everywhere. But also what you're experiencing in your mind, because there's this letting go of the ego, an expansion and experiencing sights and sounds and colors and feelings and the connection between you and your partner in this different way. It's possible to move in these ways of up and down and light and transcendence and deep primal areas, like all these different nuances that can happen in this expanded state that people normally don't know exists in the way that we're taught about sexuality in our culture.
Can we live in that state, or is that just a place we can visit? Maybe that's what the enlightened state is. I don't know. What?
It's possible. I believe that from the training that I've had and experiences that I've had, I'm pretty clear that it's a state that's available to people pretty much when they want it, if they're willing to do the work to get there. So the state of orgasm or the state of turn-on, for example, is something that's internal. It isn't based on some outside circumstance or some extra special partner who has some extra special technique. It's actually something that once you get it, you know what it is, and you're able to kind of tap into it on your own and just be kind of in a state of orgasm. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a state of enlightenment, but it's a state of openness, of surrender to, you know, a higher power or what is, you know, completely present and open to what is in the moment.
No, I get that. And I guess that, and I get that is a beautiful place. I mean, what often happens though, I think, and maybe it's for women or women I've seen there, there's a sense of then attachment to the person or to the emotion. I mean, there's some other stuff or baggage or something that goes along with, I mean, also the ability to want to connect, of course, but then there's some other stuff that gets in the way of that. You know what I mean?
Totally. This is one of the, it's interesting, one of the most important things I learned around sexuality in my experiences and my studies and my research has been that how important it is to uncouple all of the emotions, the romance of the sexual experience from it, so that we're really clear that the wonderful experience of sexuality and of this orgasmic state can happen on its own. It's a value-neutral, non-attached place where two people can connect and experience, and it's not about anything else other than reaching this state and being connected purely in the state with nothing, no story, no romance inhibiting that connection. It's just like a pure truth, essence to essence, energy to energy opening.
But the problem I have with that philosophy is, and maybe it's my programming of brainwashing, is that state, that orgasmic connection, is the romance. It is what's supposed to come from, you know, emotional connection and, you know, finding the perfect partner. I mean, it's a little bit of a story, but I don't think we have to throw out the romance with that.
Well,
do we
don't. So I agree. I totally agree. We do not have to throw out the romance. So what we do, we've uncoupled the two. And then what we can do is bring back the romance and decide and have that with the people that we want to have that with. But then we don't depend on them for it. So that next level of amazingness that can happen, that next level of unbelievable intimacy and incredible beauty and love and in love and the ecstasy of union with another person can happen. And we're not putting on them all of our neediness of you're the only person that can give this to me and I have to have it because it's so good, and then you have all of this extra baggage with it. So you come from an empowered place, two empowered beings saying, I am an orgasmic being and I know how to have access to this amazing thing. Let's do this together. And then you have this nuclear explosion that can happen between people and this incredible union, which is this next level, in my opinion, of the thing. And I think that you can reach that next level more cleanly and better if you know that it's in you already, you know, that power of of your body, your holiness, your orgasm is yours first, and then you connect.
I think I get what you're saying. For me, and maybe it's just my conditioning, part of the turn on is the romance, part of the sexual turn on is the kind of mixing it up with the romance. Do you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. Absolutely.
How do you separate it? Why do you want to separate it? Because, you know, I'm only really turned on by women that are in that kind of possibility, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For me.
I think it's a decision. Some people are curious to explore that. Some people really enjoy the game, you know, that amazing tension that happens between people where, you know, something might happen, you know, that where there's that man-woman dynamic, the way the seduction, the tumescence rising, the turn-on rising, the, you know, when they sent a text, what does it mean? How long do I wait until I send the next one? And then you feel that rush in your body of, ooh, and then you finally look into each other's eyes and it's like fireworks are going off and you haven't even touched each other. You know, that's good
stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
So do we want to disconnect that from the act, or do you want to include, you're saying, and I think somehow it's true, there's these two separate clean places and they seem to be sort of confused or mixed together in us, right? I mean, I'm just trying to get clear.
I think it's both. I think having only either one, you're missing something. I think for me, the fullest picture is having both. It's like a really great artist who, you know, like an abstract artist, for example, first is really great at being a realistic painter, you know, realism. Like, I can draw an apple, you know, and I really know how to draw an apple, and I know how to work with color and shape and size, and I know how to frame it in a picture, and I know how to light it if I'm taking a photograph of that I got the apple. And then once I got the rules down, I can throw the rules out and make art, you know, in that way where I can let my creativity go to that next level of wow. But if I'm just sort of scribbling away at an apple, there's something there where it's like, I'm missing. There's some extra little bit of knowledge, of wisdom that I'm missing. You know what I mean? Like, there's some relationships. There's some patterns that I don't actually know. And even though my somewhat cool abstract apple is somewhat cool, if I actually got the basic foundations of drawing down first, then I can play with them in a different way.
No, I think that's a really brilliant analogy, because I love art and I know exactly what you mean, that only someone really trained can sort of abstract it. So you're saying until we really understand these functions, let's say, of sexuality, romance, emotional commitment, turn on, until we can really kind of feel our ways into each of those, instead of mixing it all together and hoping somehow it'll come together, we won't really be in a position to have it all, in a sense, because we'll still be hoping for one part or another. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's like, if I mix in some red and some yellow and some green, maybe it'll come out in some cool hue, or maybe it'll just come out this, like, really drab brown. So instead, learning, you know, what does red do, and what if I put a little bit of yellow, what if I put a little bit more of yellow, and really getting into the how does color work, and then start mixing up the colors and coming out with the hues that really make the magic, you know?
So then relate that then to what you were saying.
I'm sorry?
So then relate that those ideas to what you were saying about,
orgasm and sexuality.
Yeah, sexuality, romance, emotional involvement. Yeah.
Yeah. So working out what is your how does your body work? What is your body like? What does it respond to? What is the touch and sensation that has it feel the most in one circumstance versus another? When it's cold outside versus when it's warm, when you're feeling sad versus when you're feeling really joyful about something, really learning for yourself what your body responds to and where you open, where you allow yourself to surrender and where you don't. Learning how to get in touch with your turn on. And there are different ways that you can do that, different books you can read, different courses you can take, or you could, email me and we'll talk about it. So that way you're figuring out your own palette in a sense. So then when you meet someone or you look around the room, you're at a party and, there's the three people that really catch your attention, you are so much better able to play with them. You know how long you can hold eye contact with them to raise that feeling of, that excitement, that butterflies in the stomach, in your chest, and you know what that means, and you know how that's transmitted to them and how they're feeling it. And then all of a sudden you make a connection, and then when the two of you end up in bed, you're showing up with this body and orgasm that you know how to play with already. So you're not just sort of getting together and hoping it'll work out. I find that that's the default way that people relate to sexuality, is hoping, just waiting around, hoping that they'll meet the right person, right? You'll get that feeling, and then you'll fall into bed, and it'll all come together and be amazing. And if it isn't, they obviously weren't meant to be. They weren't the right person because it wasn't naturally amazing already.
You're saying that's a fantasy projection, and the way to avoid that disappointment is to really start to do your homework, which is understand your body and what feels good. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, understanding your body and understanding what feels good and understanding how to open into these orgasmic states without it being about being in love. So that when you then are in love, you can open to these orgasmic states and then more, and then have
this is it's that very place that I think a lot of women particularly hold back.
Yes,
I mean,
you're right.
And men do too in a way, in a different way, but I think women say, well, I'm not going to share this because I'm not in love and I'm saving myself for the person, who they're going to be with forever or something. And, which is okay. I mean, I think there's something beautiful there, but you're saying something else. You're saying, no, go into it, experiment and see where that sexuality.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that our sexuality, especially for women, I think for men too, but I'm a woman and I work a lot with women, is your sexuality is your power. It's like your this root chakra, this incredible force of nature that we have. And as women in the society that we live in have been pretty much shamed into shutting it down until X, Y, or Z circumstance that's appropriate for it to come out. And that kind of does us a disservice because we end up either with two models, basically, that we know that we were allowed or we're expected to live in. One is this nice girl version where we wait till the right person in the right circumstance and we're in love and then we have sex and hopefully it's, on prom night with the boy we've been in love with in all through high school or whatever, And then, until we get married or whatever the story is there. So doing the appropriate thing and waiting. And then we have this kind of rebellion to that where we have girls gone wild, like we have the hypersexual March break in Florida, keg parties, frat parties, whatever parties, where you have a whole lot of women who are having a whole lot of sex that they don't want to be having because that's how they feel that they should be. That's what sexy, that's what guys like, that's how you get love. That's what you do to be a cool girl. And so you have a bunch of women who are not having sex when they want to be having sex because they shouldn't, And then you have a bunch of women who are having more sex than they should be or want to be having because they should. And instead, what I've noticed with women is there's this whole continuum of women's sexuality from not at all to a lot. And everywhere on that continuum is right. Everywhere on that continuum is a perfect place to be and a perfect way to express where you're at. And what we need to do is figure out where we actually are instead of where we're trying to be, what we're trying to do when we're doing it right. So where are you today? And it's not where you were 3 years ago. We change. We move up and down on this continuum. Their sexuality kind of moves like waves. Sometimes it's the perfectly right expression for yourself to be holding back and waiting until something aligns in you and you feel ready to open there in some way, some form. And sometimes it's completely appropriate to be going to sex parties and exploring open relationships and doing all sorts of other research. And
how do you know what's appropriate? How would, I mean, how do you work with women and men, I guess, but how do you know what's appropriate? Because we've been so conditioned, like you said, to either say no, 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 or yes, yes, yes. I mean, how do we find that place in us that is where we're at, you know?
We're actually at, yeah, that's really fun, actually. It's easier than one would think. By the time that women find me and want to work with me or come to one of my workshops or meetups or come as a coaching client, they have already realized that there's something in the area of sexuality that they want to look at. So that's a big thing. So once they get past that point, it's really not that hard to slowly pull out women's desires. So women getting in touch with their desires, that's kind of like another taboo thing. It's like women shouldn't want too much. So giving women permission to really start to think about what do they want? What turns them on? Finding a journal, a book that they like, you know, from a bookstore, and start a desire journal and just writing every day. These are the things that I want. This is what turned me on today. I really wanted that chocolate cake. I really got turned on by the fireman down the street. I really, you know, just opening their eyes, giving women permission to just open their eyes to the world and just start wanting. They start to get in touch with what they actually want. Once you give someone permission to let the blinders off, they actually take it, especially if they've gotten as far as coming and saying, okay, I want to get in touch with my sexuality and who I am there and stop faking kind of thing.
You know, I think men are maybe more in touch with their desires, but I think they have different issues that get in the way of their fulfillment. I mean, how do you work with men? Because I think the situation is different somehow, right?
Yeah, I think men don't have the same kind of shame around wanting sex. You know, like they don't have the same kind of, if I want sex, then I'm a slut thing. So they're more in touch with their desire. I think for men, it's more, at least the ones I'm working with, it's more an issue of, well, then what? How do I have the sexual partners in my life in the way that I want to have them? And then how do I have the sexual experiences that are actually fulfilling instead of the ones that give me momentary pleasure and then I feel empty inside?
Well, that's a good point. How do we have the experiences that are actually fulfilling? What makes a fulfilling experience?
I'd say connection. Mm-hmm. Being in an experience with somebody without the goal of anything, so without it being about getting off. You know, everybody has to come, preferably together. So dropping that whole thing, getting rid of that goal, and instead just looking at what is and actually connecting with a partner, actually allowing the opening to happen. So for men, more than women, I think it is about finding connection with somebody, allowing somebody in to deeply touch you, letting more parts of you come into contact with that person other than your skin, if that makes any sense. Allowing more of the heart into the experience.
Right. But no, but what you just said there seems different than what you're saying to women about giving themselves permission to have sex, because that's, in a way, I don't know, maybe it's my interpretation, but without the heart, I mean, or maybe it is, but you're saying, okay, women, it's okay for you to have sex. And then where's that connection come in for the women that are suddenly given permission to do, you know, to follow their desires? Where's the heart come into that kind of, you know, way of working with women or women being?
I think women naturally connect more just naturally with their sexual partners. It's not so much of something that they need to learn how to do. They just kind of do it, especially when they have an orgasm, you know, and they have the oxytocin going. It's almost like the default is, if a woman is having sex, my thinking is that, I assume first that she's connected in the experience. And if she's not connected, that's something else that happens and is valid. Mm-hmm. And with men, I just hear a lot of stories, and I've had a lot of experiences where there's, you know, this is a physical thing that's going on, and that's just it. The thing to look at is, whatever the experience that just happened, how does the person feel on the other side of it? So if the sex was very, how do we say, just about the physical act of sex,
right,
and at the end of it, the person feels satisfied, fulfilled, empowered, connected. Like, I was here with you. I respect you. I honor you. We did this thing together. This was wonderful. Thank you. You are my friend, you know? Like,
we're
here. There is a sense of intimacy there. And they feel really good in that place. Then that was a positive experience. If they had that sexual experience and at the end of it they feel kind of dead inside, like there's something wrong, there's something missing, then there was something that was going on in this experience that they wanted more of. They were missing something. So figuring out for ourselves what kind of experiences that we want to have in what moment, what is it that's going to, in the end, leave us feeling fulfilled?
Well, what you think is missing is that connection. Is that what's missing in those places, those moments where, you know,
I do think that there is a basic level of connection that happens in sexuality that, you know, it doesn't have to be that in love romance. Before, we were talking about in love romance, right? Yeah. Now I'm just talking about human connection, you know, like there's a way that I can be really close to and intimate with my friends who are not my in love partners, right? That's very, very close. So in sexual experiences, you can be very close and intimate with that person without being in love with them or having them be a boyfriend or girlfriend. So there is some level of touching someone's heart, touching someone's soul in a way, allowing yourself to be open and receiving them, that makes the whole experience satisfying, you know, gratifying, fulfilling, really positive, and you go home and you feel really great. When that isn't there, a lot of times it can feel really kind of sad afterwards. Like, why did I do that? Or the person leaves in the morning, or you leave in the morning, and it's kind of like, something's missing. That just, I'm empty. And that's where that connection's missing. Kind of like in, for whoever's seen the movie Shame.
Yes, I love what that movie brings up, is that empty connection that seems so automatic. Actually, I wrote a review about just that idea that sex is so automatic and a kind of a lonely, desperate act for people.
Exactly. That's if the world could have not much of that, it would be a good thing, you know. But
right. So you're teaching and you're coaching people, really. I mean, beyond sexuality is connection, huh? And, you know, connection is, and connecting to people, I guess, in a conscious way, like seeing who's there and seeing if you want to spend time with someone over there, right? I mean, that what connection is?
Yeah, consciousness and connection, exactly. Like, connection in two ways. The first one is to oneself. So first, really connecting in with who you are and what you want, truly. Who, if you could really drop off all of the expectations and as much of the conditioning that you can become aware of that you have, and really allow yourself to know your desires, your feelings, your drives, the values, the things that are important to you, and how you want to live in this world, because really, you only know, at least, that you have these number of years to live it, and they're precious. So living them authentically, because at the end, no one really cares, you know? Like, everyone's got their own end, so really, it's yours. So getting in touch with connecting with you. And then once you do that, allowing other people to touch you, allowing yourself to touch them, learning how to live in connection with the people in your life, different kinds of connections with your partners, with your coworkers, with your family, really enriching all of those through communication and through allowing yourself to become vulnerable in the world instead of walled off. And then that leads into sexuality and connection and sexuality.
And then it also leads to love in a way. I mean, look, can we talk, I mean, in a way, there's no way to explain love because it just sort of happens. The loving for a partner, you know, or with a partner.
That seems to be the ultimate. You know, that comes and goes in everybody's life in different ways, in different styles. It's something that we all hope for and cherish when we have it and are heartbroken when we don't, and it drives us towards things and away from things. It's such a strong, powerful force, and, you know, it's really in our best interest that when we are lucky enough to find love, that we know how to connect there and how to be with this love in a way that expands it and nurtures it and helps it grow into the future, because we're available and ready for that connection.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And it's, and, you know, and just, I think you're saying, and kind of been saying throughout the program, and if you're not in that place of in love, it doesn't mean we have to deny ourselves experience and sensation, which is part of the programming, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's so much of our human experience that's available to us outside of that in love place, you know? If we're waiting around for just that to make us happy, we're, you know, missing the flowers and the butterflies and the trees. You know, there's so much out there, and our bodies are with us all the time and feel so much pleasure and so much joy and can have these ecstatic moments that are connected, even though they're not in love, with somebody else, that are mind-blowing and healthy for us to have and have us feel happy and fulfilled and turned on. And I know that when I'm in a time in my life where I'm having regular fulfilling sexual encounters, I'm more creative, I'm more productive, I'm more friendly, I'm more optimistic about the world, I'm just more alive, in a sense. I don't need to wait for just that one person to have those experiences and to have that vitality.
But, I mean, that's what's still a little confusing for me in some ways. It's like I'm waiting for that perfect person to have it all. And I think it's just my conditioning that says you have to have it all in one package, or you know, you know, it's just like that. It's a romantic programming, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying is be fully embodied each moment with your potential.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's I think that's an evolution. And and we don't have to have the old programming get in the way of what we're capable of having. And
we can have more, we can have a lot more in our lifetimes if we don't listen to that conditioning. We can also, you know what I mean? Because we'll have that in love experience as well.
We will.
And
that's
we can
the part,
have more.
But it's that part that I think is in, the, I mean, if I have all those other experiences when the in love experience, I mean, will I miss it because I'll be, you know, it's, I mean, it's just the thoughts that are in the mind that say, do we, yeah. I mean, you know, do we just wait for that? Yeah, I said it. Or, yeah, and I think you're helping a lot of people see more of what's possible, really, for them. Mm-hmm. And and I think it's an important evolution in our culture is to honor who we are in the moment without living a fantasy of what could be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
Yeah, exactly. We could, in a way, it's like the one way to think about it would be, well, if I'm sort of having these, you know, really fun, really fulfilling sexual experiences with people who I'm not in love with, then that's going to get in the way of me finding that in love person because X, Y, and Z reason.
Yeah,
another way to think of it is that if I'm not sexually expressed and I am shutting down that key part of myself, there are a lot of ways that we're not showing up in the world, that we're not showing the world who we are, not just sexually, but creatively. And with that vitality that I was talking to you about, that person who you might be falling in love with next week, who, you know, is sitting on the subway or just got a new job at where you're working or whatever, doesn't get to see your full beauty because you're shut down and kind of depressed because you're, you know, isolated and not living in your full brilliance, showing it off to the world, that would naturally attract this person, you know?
Right.
Who that would then connect with and be like, oh, okay, here we go. This is the one that we're going to go on this ride now.
No, I think that's really a key point is we don't need to shut down. I probably more for women, but we don't need to shut down their potential for living ecstatically in the orgasm because of some idea of what could be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, it helps people become more alive is what you're really saying. And that's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
So when you, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, well put.
Right, thank you. I mean, we're just almost out of time. But in your website, youarebeautiful.us, that offers your coaching programs and tell people what you can do with them, for them.
Yeah. There's a calendar, the meetups that I run, and a couple of workshops that I run around there. And there's other things that I offer. People who are interested can contact me, email me, and I'd be happy to share with them and talk with them about where they're at and what they want in their lives and what their next steps are.
Well, I think in a way we all want the same thing. I think we just have different strategies for getting that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nonviolent communication, Marshall Rosenberg. But I think we all want desire and pleasure and fulfillment and joy and love.
Mm-hmm.
And we just are all trying to find out what's the best ways for achieving those simple things. So so just one more closing thing about then, how does that all connect to our spiritual potential from your perspective? You know, I mean, so we have sensation, we have fulfillment, we have these parts that you laid out, and we, you know, let ourselves have these unconditional ways? And then I guess I'm asking, what's the ultimate, where's it all hope to bring you or the people you're working with? What I mean, because there's something beyond even falling in love. It's a kind of a realization.
There's the way that I express it for myself, and other people have different ways of talking about it, but is being in touch with source. You know, there's some higher power, some energy, something that, you know, is beyond what I understand that I can experience, whether it's in an orgasmic state or in other ways that I can have that experience. And so sexuality and orgasm is one way to be able to just have these experiences that are like, what is going on right now? I know this is more happening here than just sex. You know, there's something is with me at the moment, or I am in touch, or I'm channeling some energy that is beyond my comprehension. So there's touching into source that way, but there's something more that sexuality does, because it's kind of one of our taboo topics, you know. And one of my teachers, Nicole Dedone, she always says that around our sexuality, we hold our most intense emotions, our most intense parts of ourselves, our taboos. We hold shame and grief, and then love and passion and desire and rejection and fear and jealousy, and all this really intense stuff is around our sexuality. So when we begin to open up our sexuality and start expressing it in the way that is right for us, all of these things that the reason we've been masking it in the first place or keeping it clamped down in the first place start to pop up and start to happen. So we need to actually grapple with ourselves. We actually have to confront these difficult parts of ourselves if we want to be living truly authentically, right? And when we do that, that is where we get to live in our full potential. That is how we get to that awakening place. When we're looking at the hard stuff, it's not just the happy, good lightness, but it's also in the shadow, you know?
Sexuality and being with oneself in that way brings up all the stuff that we haven't looked at, because it's all around this this idea here of pleasure and pain and suffering, all that. It's all in there is what Nicole kind of says, right?
Yeah.
So by looking at this part of ourselves, we expand into all parts of ourselves, is what you're saying.
Right, we then have access to every place, in a sense, instead of, well, I'm willing to experience these 10 things, but not these 5 things. So then on our spiritual journey, we're going to hit a ceiling if we're not willing to actually go everywhere, you know, and become powerful in every place and not become kind of enslaved to that place because we won't go there.
Oh, just one thing. I just saw a question from the producer. Have you heard of people having visions in this kind of ecstatic states of you know, these orgasmic states is something that...
I know that, well, an experience I've had, so in this practice of orgasmic meditation, I've had experiences that are very similar to journeying. In shamanism, there's something that happens that this practice they have called journeying, where you lie down and you close your eyes and someone's beating a drum at a certain rhythm that allows your brain to go into these certain brainwave patterns that you then do have these visions, and people meet their power animal and they get basically messages from your unconscious, for example, or opening to some channels, getting messages from somewhere else. So you're seeing these visions. And in these orgasmic states that I've been in, I've had very similar kind of experiences where I'm kind of like daydreaming or dreaming, but not really. So I'm not in actual dream state, but there are things going on that I'm aware of, little movies in my head, in a sense, that aren't just sort of fantasies.
They're altered states of consciousness. They're higher states.
Exactly.
No. Okay. I mean, there's a lot more to talk about, and maybe we'll do some more interviews, but thank you for that answer there. And thanks for, you know, all the people you're helping, and you know, coaching and giving back to the world in that way of expanding them. So,
thank you.
Do more. Maybe I'll do a television round table about this stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. I've been talking to Christina Berkeley, and her website is youarebeautiful.us, right? Oh, and you want to give your email?
Christina, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A dot Berkeley, B as in boy, E-R-K-L-E-Y, at youarebeautiful.us.
Thanks. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check my website. There's many different interviews in the field of sexuality I've done under the title Sexuality. You can see videos and articles there, as well as articles on shamanism and metaphysics, Eastern and Western religion. It's all on newrealities.com. And thank you guys at BBS Radio. I'm here every Tuesday, 7 p.m. California time, 10 p.m. New York time. And let me know if you have any questions about anything you've heard here. Thanks for listening. This is Chris Williamson and our circle of friends on We'll Be Closing Room. Thank you. Oh,